morning, everybody. Good morning. Lovely to see you all here this morning. It's great to be here. What a wonderful weekend. What a joyous day. Well, an evening to begin with Friday and then yesterday all day. And what a change of scenery, but still in God's house. How good has it been? And now we're going to thank God for all his many blessings to us. And we're going to sing 10,000 blessings. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name.
I just want to cast our minds back to yesterday and Friday evening in Artburst, because what I saw there was a community event, a community event, but a Kenmore Uniting Church community event. I'm just going to ask you, if you had any role in Artburst, if you did anything towards Artburst, put your hand up. And if you prayed for Artburst as well, no, keep your hands up. If you also prayed for Artburst, don't neglect to put your hand up. That's what makes it a community event. And I just want to say thank you to all the people from Kenmore Uniting Church, from our community, who did so much towards making Artburst such a success. It was just a lovely evening and a lovely day, and so good. Will you please join me in reading Psalm 19? All heaven and earth proclaim the majesty of God's creative power.
Praise God for the amazing and awesome beauty of God's creation.
God has told us how to live together in harmony and peace.
He has commanded us to love and care for each other.
So rejoice in the goodness of God.
Praise God for God's complete and
steadfast love for us. Amen. As the psalmist says, God's greatness and glory are written in the sky. God's artistry is carved on the face of the earth. And it is this God who calls us here to worship him this morning. So pause a moment. Feel the power of God's grace. Open your minds and your hearts. Feel God's presence with you now. And then let's praise with joy the world's creator. Let's stand and sing together.
Praise with joy.
Today is a special day in the life of God's church worldwide. Today is World Communion Sunday. I love World Communion Sunday because as we come here to share communion this morning, in my mind is this image of God's people all around the globe in our time and in their time and so throughout the whole day sitting at the same table, Jesus' table, sharing communion together. It's not just us here this morning, but it's all of us, all God's people. And I get really excited about that. I hope you feel excited about that too. Shall we pray? God of all time and all places, this morning we join our voices with those of our brothers and sisters around the world who are gathered in diverse places to worship you just as we are. And together with them, we open our hearts, our minds, our very souls to your presence in our midst. Amen. Jesus Christ, God with us, we come praising and worshipping you this morning. You call us to draw near to you, to learn of you. And we come now to sit at your feet, to listen to what it is that you have to say to us today as we Amen. Forgiving God, there are times when we wonder whether or not you are with us. But it's not often we ask ourselves the question, are we with you? Our focus is so often on what more you can do for us that we forget to ask, what more can we do for you? We say a lot about following you, about shining the light of your love in our family, in our community, in our world. But we do not follow through. Lord Jesus, you call us to model ourselves on you. You call us to actions that are louder than words. When we do not listen, forgive us. Forgive our self-centeredness, our inaction, our failure to love. Will you take a moment to sit with God and listen to what God has to say to you as you bring your prayer of confession? Forgive us, O God, and change us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, God loves you. God longs to take all that you are and all that you are not, all that you have done and all that you have not done, all that you've said and all that you've not said, and to love you into heaven's possibilities. The great good news for us this morning and every morning is that in Christ Jesus, our sins are forgiven and we are freed to start again. Thanks be to God. And let's celebrate that as we sing, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Thank you. Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Now you have a chance, don't neglect to share that. One day in the temple, the chief priests and elders challenged Jesus' right to teach there. By what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority, they said. Recently, John the Baptizer had burst on the scene as a messenger from God, and proclaiming that Jesus was the one sent from God, proclaiming that Jesus' authority to heal, to preach, to teach was an authority that came directly from God. So when they asked Jesus, "What authority do you have to be here?" Jesus' answer was, "Well, John the Baptizer has told you. John the Baptizer has said that my authority comes from God." Don't you believe him? Jesus didn't just say that. Instead, he answered their question by asking them a question of his own. A question that didn't seem at first to have a lot to do with their challenge to his authority. This is what he asked it. Is John's baptism from God, or is it not? And that gets them into a dilemma. If they said it is from God, then Jesus would say, then why don't you believe him when he says my authority is from God? And they were afraid to say it's from human origin, because all the people who were there saw John the Baptizer as God's prophet. His word came from God. So for the chief priests and the elders, there just was not a right answer. And they said the only thing they could say in the circumstances, we don't know. And Jesus said, well, if you are not going to answer me, then I am not going to answer you and tell you by what authority I do these things. But I am going to tell you a story. And he told them this parable. Thank you. Now.
Reading today is from Matthew chapter 21, reading verses 28 to 32. A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. He answered, I will not. But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. Even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. This is the word of the Lord.
This is not a story about Jesus' authority. It's a story holding up a mirror to the chief priests and elders and inviting them to look at themselves. In the parable, there's a father and two children. One child only promises to do what the father said and then fails to follow through on his promise. Words without action. The other child promises nothing, resists doing what the father asks, says a straight out no, and then actually does do what the father asks. Not work, but action. And when Jesus asked the chief priests and the elders to choose which son did the right thing, the chief priests and elders made the choice you probably made, the one I made. They agreed that actions do speak louder than words. And it's then that Jesus holds up the mirror to the chief priests and elders so that they can see themselves reflected. And he tells them some very harsh truths. Tax collectors and prostitutes, he says, the people you look down on and despise, believe John. They know where my authority comes from. People like the tax collector Zacchaeus, he saw who I am. And he's a changed man. His generous actions speak for him. But you say all the right words to honour God, but you doubt me. Even when you see me healing and teaching and preaching right here in the temple, you doubt me. And when you do, you are doubting God. The tax collectors and prostitutes that you despise, Jesus said, are like the son who said no, but then does what the father's will is. And so they are the very ones who are right with God. But you say yes and amen, and then turn away from God. To God, their actions speak far louder than your words. Jesus' parable and his words demolish the chief priests and elders. So now our question is, what does it say to us this morning, to you and me? Remember the two kids in the parable? I recognise them, don't you? I've lived with them, haven't you? And neither is the perfect son or daughter. If you are a parent, have you ever fantasised about having the perfect child? The one who kept her room spotlessly clean and tidy? The one who mowed the lawn or did the dishes without being told? The one who never had to be told to turn down the music or do his homework? The child I'd really like to have and his actions match her or his words. But there are no perfect kids in my family, and probably not in yours, and there are certainly no perfect sons and daughters here in this parable. The only perfect child God has is Jesus. So God doesn't ask in this story which is the perfect son. Jesus asks which son pleases the father more. What imperfect child of God pleases God? How do we please God? And that question is the question this parable asks us. How can we please God? And isn't it that though none of us are God's perfect children, none of us, what counts most with God is not what we say, but what we do. As God's sons and daughters, we all say a lot of things that sound impressive from time to time. We make God all our promises every Sunday in the socks we see. We did it again this morning and we'll do it again in the songs that we sing after this. And this parable reminds us that the words don't count. If we don't put our promises into action. Because to God, obedient actions speak so much louder than words or the lyrics we sing. So as individuals and as a congregation, the big question is, who or what might God be calling us to be and do here and now? And once we understand that, then what are we going to do about it? Is it yes, God, or is it no? I don't know about you, but I personally do not always like God's will for me. And sometimes I say no. I put my hands over my ears and refuse to listen. I may not get very far when I do that, but I try. How about you? This story, this parable, is good news for me. The good news is, God would rather have the rebels who do what God wants in the end, despite what they said at first. Of course it would be better if we were always God's perfectly obedient children. But God knows that we are not, and never will be. And God would rather we were honest, even if that means that we say no. Because you know what? God can work with an honest no. And God does work with honest no's all the time. Like God did with Moses, and with Jeremiah, and with Jonah, for goodness sake. So even when God used Jonah to work a miracle in the lives of people, was still reluctantly trying to work against it. And Paul. The really good news is that God loves and accepts us, not because we are perfect. Isn't that, that's the best good news for me this morning. Not because of any claims we can make about our own goodness or obedience, but because God chooses to do it. God is like the Father in the parable. Let's listen to this just one more time. What pleases God is obedient action. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes that has a cost. A cost in time, or energy, or money. A cost in pleasure, or convenience. And sometimes we're just afraid. And the cost tells us what it takes to overcome our fear. So that we are able to say yes. Sometimes God asks us for patience. As we wait for God's timing. Instead of going ahead and impatiently doing things when we think the time is right. So yes, often it's easier to say no to God or even to say yes, yes to God and go our own way. Because that's the choice we always have. But every choice is an opportunity to choose God. Who remembers the Nike advertising slogan? What is it? Just do it. That's it. Just do it. The Nike advertising team might not have stolen that slogan from Jesus, but the church could easily steal it from Nike. Just do it. That's exactly what Jesus says in the parable of the two sons. If you've got sons and daughters, if you're followers of Jesus, if you're a person who focuses your life around Jesus, if you're a Christian, don't talk about it. Just do it. Because God won't be bogged off with words. In a minute, we're going to sing the song, O Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. You know, the words of that song make some wonderful promises to God. They are great words. But when you sing words like that, Jesus says, be careful. Because God does not want pious words from us that we don't need. God wants obedient sons and daughters who do what God asks. So don't sing if you don't mean it, but do sing loud and clear when you do. None of this. None of this is about being perfect, because there were no perfect sons in the parable, were there? Only those that pay lip service to God and go their own way, and those who say no and then do what God says. Those like the tax collectors and prostitutes and maybe even you who rebel but then change their mind and in the end do what God wants. The question is, what is God saying to you this morning? Ask yourself the question. Well, ask God the question. What are you asking me to do or to be? What might God be asking you to do or be that will cost you? And then, because you love God, and because you want to please God, and because you can't get over the extravagance of God's love for you, and because you can't think of any other way to adequately thank God, just do it. Amen. We're going to share together in a responsive reading. Let's stand as we share this, and then we will sing, O Jesus, I have promised. Let's stand. God, make us a church that we will not only comfort the afflicted, that will not only love the world,
but will call the world to account.
That will not only pursue peace,
but also demand justice.
That will not remain silent,
when people are calling for a voice.
That will not pass by on the other side,
when wounded humanity is waiting to be healed.
That will not only call us to worship, that will follow Christ, even when the way points to a cross. To this end, we offer ourselves in the name of Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. and that came from the Christian Conference of Asia, as given to us by Seasons of the Spirit Congregational Life. Oh Jesus, I have promised. Let's see. Generous God, may the work of our hands bring you honour. May the service we offer bring you praise. May the life we live reflect your love, and may our offerings be used to grow your kingdom in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you. Rosemary's going to come and bring us announcements.
Well, good morning. Another good morning. And yeah, we're all a bit tired after our first, but I think it went really well. And I hope everyone enjoyed it who volunteered or just came. And it's a great day. And it's great to welcome Margaret and her son John today. Lovely to see you, Margaret. Oh, Glory. Glory. Yes. Good to see you, Gloria. And for those who missed out on Marion McConaughey's exhibition down in the Pioneer Church yesterday too, she's coming today at a little after 10, so you can go down and see her beautiful artwork. They are beautiful. And if you can go down there after church to see them. With Artburst, Coralie has said today that with the auction on Friday night, we made over $2,500 for Hummingbird House, the hospice for children. And another little item about Artburst, if anyone's got a lid container that they might have brought, those who probably brought sandwiches, and thank you for all the people who did that for the cafe, making sandwiches. If you find you've got a spare lid at home, that will belong to Vicky, who made all the beautiful cakes and savouries yesterday. So please check to see if you've got an extra lid. Okay, on to the other announcements. Don't forget the goods for the Women's Refuge. We'll get back to collecting those again. And also, items for reflection is due once again. So by this Wednesday, the 4th of October, if you can please send in any reflections items. The usual activities are on this week, except probably quiltabouts. Not on Monday because it's a holiday, and they also had a huge day yesterday, so thank you. To our dear Holy Father, who art in heaven,
Thank you for this bright, fresh Communion Sunday. We begin October not quite believing it is October already, and we wonder where the year went. Thank you for the signs of spring that are flourishing around us, even the ones that give us terrible allergies. We welcome the change of season and the promise of new life that it brings with it. Please be with us here as we pray these things and our own prayers for the world. Father, it was a very busy weekend. Thank you for your support and your blessings on Artburst this week. Thank you for giving us your creative heart and for providing so much inspiration in the world around us for the talented creators in our community to appreciate in paintings, photography, sculpture, dance and music. Thank you for the many, many hands that gave their time over the festival to make a welcoming space for the visitors and artists. Please bless them all and give them all a chance to recoup their energy as we say, well done, good and faithful servants. We hope it was a happy, fun and freeing time for the artists involved. We hope they felt your love. Most of all, we hope they felt your presence and joy for them and their talents. Thank you for the mastery with which you shape creation and the beauty of planet Earth. We're sorry we don't take more opportunities to just sit and soak it in when life gets busy. So please call your spirit in us and place gentle hands on our shoulders this week and help us listen to your calming voice so we can just be still and know that you are God and you are in this place. Thank you, Lord, for the cultural highs and lows we are experiencing in Australia at the moment. We think of the footy. Please help the young men cope with the success and failure of the grand final and help the fans of both sides practice good sportsmanship and show their children how to do the same. Please help every sporting celebrity realise how much our young Aussies look up to them and help them live well as good role models for the kids. Thank you for the Australian value of mateship. We hope we can remember to hold it highest of all when we come to the referendum. Please help us remember it's not them and us, it's all of us together, and what we allow or disallow here on earth has eternal effects. Please, Father God, let us remain respectful when our passions are high. Help each of us here really pray deeply about it and hear your voice on how we should vote, louder than our personal opinions and prejudices around the matter. Thank you for what is to come. And thank you for being in control. Thank you for being with us this week. Sincerely, amen.
Amen. As we prepare to come to the table and share with all our brothers and sisters around the world, let's stand and sing, "Here is bread, here is wine."
Pray the bread.
Christians gather symbolically at a common table. Today we celebrate that this table stretches right around the world. And all God's people share together at that table. This sacrament is a celebration of God's grace. The celebration of all that God has done for us, especially what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. God with us. This morning we are reminded that this is not our table, and it's not my table, and it's not the church's table. This is God's table. And Jesus is the host at this feast. Jesus invites you to come to the table. And no one else can take your place here. So come and share in this feast of grace. As we come to the table, remember that at table, on the very night in which one of his own betrayed him, Jesus took the bread, he broke it, gave thanks, and said, "Take it and eat. This is my body given for you." And then he took the cup, he passed it amongst his disciples, he said a blessing, and he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant. Whenever you drink it, remember me." And so, remembering what Jesus did and said that night, we take this bread and we take this cup. Signs of God's grace offered to us. Here tonight, in and through Jesus Christ. And we give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And the Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts with joy.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God our thanks and praise.
It's a right and good and joyful thing. Always and everywhere, to thank and praise you, O God, for your limitless grace, reaching out across time and space, fear and grief, success and failure, reaching out to us, reaching out across boundaries of spirit and flesh, faith and doubt, gender and culture, prejudice and ignorance, wealth and poverty. Reaching out through Jesus Christ, Son of God, born of Mary, to take the hand of every person, naming each one of us as a welcome guest in the reign of God. And so with all our sisters and brothers before us and beside us and sharing this morning, we join the song of your unending greatness. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Your Son Jesus showed us the generosity of your love for us in a new way. When he was killed by those who were filled with violence, you raised him with power from the dead and called everyone to put their faith in him. And in your grace, you reached out to us with forgiveness. You transform our being and you give us the promise of new life forever. Thank and praise you, O God, for coming to us in Jesus Christ, for spreading before us your banquet of grace, where we are fed by the bread of life. Spirit of God, bless this sharing of bread and wine, Christ's life in us. Use that light in us to enfold the world with your love. In the name of Christ we pray. Let's join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trouble, deliver us from evil. Just as we're there as one life, we who are many are one body. And we break the loaf so that all may share in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. These are God's gifts for us, God's own people. Come to the table and see God's presence in bread and wine. Body of Christ, the bread of life given for you. Take and eat and feed on in your heart by faith and thanksgiving. And for me. The lifeblood of Christ poured out for you. Take and drink. Amen. Again. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives in your hands. Take us, shake us and remake us, and then go with us as we go into the world, strengthened and refreshed by your Spirit, and eager to share your life and love with others. Amen. As you leave this table, go in peace. The God of peace goes with you. Amen. And we're going to stand and sing, Shine, Jesus, shine.
Shine, Jesus, shine.
also know that we are God's loved sons and daughters. And with Jesus, God's only perfect son as our model, we can strive to be the sons and daughters who please God. So go into the week ahead in the name of Jesus. Go to be God's eyes, seeing others as God sees. Go to be God's hands and feet, putting God's love into action. Go to be God's heart, sharing God's love with all people in your world. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you each one now and forever. Amen. So let's join in Shalom.